Open our Bible to Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2. We've been on a series entitled Cultivating Contentment. And this morning I want to teach you guys how to upgrade your life. How to upgrade your life. While you're turning there, you know, I fly on occasion. And the last time I flew, because of the lack of passengers on the plane, the whole of this particular flight that I was on, the whole first class section was empty. And I was in the middle of the plane, cramped up. Nobody was sitting next to me, but I was so cramped up. And so I asked the air flight attendant, you know, how many of y'all believe in God's favor, that God can do things for you? And I do. And so I asked the lady, I said, ma'am, nobody's sitting in first class. Would you mind if I moved up there? She said, there's no food service, so we're not going to, you know, because of the COVID thing, they weren't serving food, they weren't serving drinks, not even water. And so she said, you're welcome to sit on the last row of first class. And I said, thank you. Well, how many of y'all know that there's a lot more room, leg room in first class than there is in coach? And my flight was upgraded just for the asking. Cost me this much money. Thank you, Jesus. And so I'm going to teach you guys how to upgrade your life this morning to where you can walk out of these doors and instantly your life will go from coach to first class. How many of you would like that?
Amen.
All right. Okay, so we're good. We're all on board, right? Now let me find Colossians 2. And we're going to read one scripture. And we're going to look at a key in scripture that puts contentment on steroids. So, all right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, Paul the Apostle is saying, you have received Christ as Lord. Who all here has received Christ Jesus as Lord, right? So he's going to tell us how to walk. So walk in him. Notice verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught. Notice the last phrase, abounding in that faith with what? Abounding in your faith with thanksgiving. Another translation says overflowing with thanksgiving. So listen, if you want to upgrade your life, if you want your life to go from coach to first class, let me ask you this question. Are you abounding with thanksgiving in your walk with God? Very simple. Are you abounding with thanksgiving? Are we thankful for all the many blessings we have in our lives? Did you know that if we have indoor plumbing, indoor running water, if we can take a warm shower, if we have drinking water, if we have a roof over our head, if we have clothes, not even, listen, at this point, don't even think, let's not even talk about transportation. Let's just talk about food, 3 squares a day, a roof over your head, running water indoor. Do you realize, indoors, do you realize that you are wealthier than we fall in the top 8% of the world's wealthiest people? Pretty sobering, isn't it? And how many of us still complain at the very top 8%? Can we go there? Can I preach it loud? All right, brother. Bring it on. How many of us have a good job? I have a good job. Decent. All right. I saw 3 hands go up.
I got a better job.
4. What's that? You got a best job, right?
I got a better job.
That's good. Right. So if we pause, let me say it this way. If we stop to think, it will lead us to thank. Just a little play on words. If we stop to think about all that the Lord has blessed us, it should lead us to thank. You know, on occasion, I force myself to do this. And I make myself stop and count my many blessings. And you know, it's like, How many of y'all have ever had that chewing gum that you chew, and the more you chew, the more you have to chew because it just keeps going on. The flavor doesn't seem to go away. That's what Thanksgiving is like. When I start jumping in and purposefully giving God thanks for all the many blessings in my life, there is no end to the blessings. There is no end. I can go on and on and on and on. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
So let me ask you this question. Are you humbly grateful or are you grumbly hateful? Are we humbly grateful or are we grumbly hateful? Because how many of us know it's a choice? Right? I mean, if I had the choice of sitting in first class on that flight or sitting all cramped up like a sardine in the middle of the plane, well, my mama didn't raise no fool, right? Even if I had to sit on the very back row of first class, it was a very pleasant flight for me. Praise the Lord for that. So let me ask you, if you can fly your life at an optimum level, why not stop and give thanks? Because how many of us know all of us here are more blessed than we actually realize?
Amen.
Amen? And gratitude is what makes, gratitude is basically this. You're putting a polish on your life and you're letting it scream and shine to your face how really, really blessed you are. Amen? You know, I went to the doctor for my yearly checkup. And last year when I went in, they do the initial stuff of, you know, they ask you the questions, you know, what runs in your family? What did your dad have? And, you know, did your dad have this cancer or that cancer? And I said, well, you know, I told the doc last year, cancer runs in my family. You know, my grandma died of cancer. Both grandmas did. On both sides, you know, my mom's side, dad's side. My dad died of prostate cancer, and because he didn't tend to it, he could have avoided, but, you know, he's in heaven. I'm thankful. It was always at the back of my mind, you know, my dad died. And so this year, last week, the doctor said, well, we're going to order you some labs, so, you know, we should check your blood for the PSAs, prostate-specific antigens. And I said, I wanted to tell him, do we have to? I don't want to go down that road. That's a very unpleasant subject for me. How many of y'all feel that way about certain aspects in your health that, you know, maybe us men do? Like, dude, I'm going to live, okay? So just why even bother addressing it? Al, I see you smiling. I'm sure you know what I feel like, right? So anyway, so they had the labs done, and honestly, I was fully expecting for the office to call me the next day and say, you need to come in and talk to the doctor. Because I was expecting for the PSAs to be high. I was expecting for more to be found. And I was not scared. I was not scared. But I was concerned. And sure enough, the next day afternoon, the young LPN that took my vitals called, and she said, you know, my name is so-and-so. I took your vitals yesterday. I wanted to call in the results of the labs, and they are perfect. Well, how many of y'all know that I pause to give God thanks?
Amen.
You see my posture, church family? When we come to God with humility instead of a sense of entitlement, we will be grateful and not hateful. Giving you some good zingers this morning. You know, a sense of entitlement is the number one thing that keeps our current generation always grinding access about something. In society, in culture, the administration, the country, this thing, that thing. Because they believe that they were born for the world to cater to them. Present company excluded. Okay, I want to make that clear. Don't give me those awful looks. But by and large, how many of y'all would agree with me that that's the case? None of you are raising your hands, but thank you for those amens, gentlemen. You know, I once had a millennial disrespect me, some little girl. She once told me, she said, "Sit down, boomer." And I wanted to tell her, I didn't say anything. I wanted to tell her, "Why don't you go apply somewhere and get a job and get a life?" Can I go down that road, church family? Nobody get offended? And like I said, present company excluded. I love our young people. We're good, right? Everybody, we're good. All right. Thank you for smiling at me and not growling. A sense of entitlement will do that to us. We believe that we deserve more. We believe that we deserve better. We believe that we deserve the best, whether we earn it or not. I mean, in this society where everybody gets a participation medal, are you kidding me? You know, Scott, you're a runner. I'm a runner. Sometimes, you know, you have to train hard and sacrifice long hours on the road and your body aches and you get some mild injuries. Am I right? Yeah, you work hard for racing, and if you get a medal, you earn the medal. In fact, runners have a saying, never given, always earned. But that's not the case in society. Little Johnny applied for Little League Baseball, and though his team ended up last in the league, we're going to give him a trophy, by George. A trophy for what? Yoo-hoo. And it's that mentality that says, well, just because we have population, whether kids want to work or not, give them a paycheck. Well, how many of y'all know there's no gratitude in that? Because their mentality is, I am owed a paycheck, instead of, I earned this paycheck and I'm thankful that I have a job. Amen?
Amen.
I think it says, if you want to eat, you're supposed to work.
That's right. Paul said, if someone does not work, neither should they eat. Don't feed them. Okay? I like, that's why I love the Bible. It just clears the matter fast. It clears it, settles the issue pretty quick. So, a sense of entitlement, church family. What about complaining? Does complaining do a number to our gratitude? You know, Philippians chapter 2 says that we should do all things without complaining or grumbling. You're in trouble? Well, let's turn there. Because I don't want to be accused of making scriptures up. Right, Brother Lyle? Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read one verse of scripture, verse 14. Notice what it says. Do all things without what? Complaining and
disputing.
Thank you. Mine says murmuring. Another one says grumbling. Arguing. Do how many things without complaining, without grumbling? All things. All things. Church family, can we do all things without complaining? Huh? You know, we have, how many of y'all know that in this department, including myself, we have our work cut out for us? Well, how are you doing? I'm not doing good. You know, every morning I wake up, the first thing I say, Lord, thank you that I'm alive. That's a gift. Yeah. So I start off with the right foot. I'm alive. Well, you're a young pup, Joe. Well, you know, I don't take life for granted. How many of us know that if we don't take life for granted, every good thing that comes down the pike, we become grateful for? But if we take everything for granted, then we'll always want God to be keep pulling out a new bunny out of a hat. Right? It's never enough. We talked about covetousness last week, and we talked about how there's that desire for more, and whatever we receive, we consume it upon lust, so we don't really appreciate it. There's no appreciation for the value when there's covetousness. You know, I thought about this thing happened to me When I was in my 20s, in my late 20s, I was a pastor at a church in Kansas, and Gabby's mom and I were invited by one of our elders and his wife to go to a professional football game in Denver, Colorado. So we drove. I remember he drove us to a nice restaurant, and, you know, I was just chill. I was enjoying the process, and he ordered his scotch and scotch and soda, and I'm just eating, and he's like, he looks at me like, I don't answer to you, the elder guy. I don't answer to you. I said, I didn't say anything. So he's already on the guilty conscience. So anyway, but he's, you have to know this guy. He's a character. He was just like a big, he's a big guy, but he's like a teddy bear. And so we're leaving the rest. We had a pleasant dinner. We were talking, you know, fellowshipping. He's one of the elders of the church. And then as we're exiting the restaurant, well, there was a payphone there, okay? How many of y'all still remember those?
Oh, yeah.
There was a payphone mounted on the wall, and he said, one second. I said, are we going to go to the car? No, one second. I'm going to call my bookie. Well, at that point, I know now what a bookie is. At that point, I didn't know what a bookie was. What is a bookie, Gene? That's right. Very well said. He facilitates wagering. I'm thinking, what's a bookie? So I'm just standing there. And he's like, while the phone is ringing, he's like, you have a connection with God, right?
Oh, no.
He said, because the bookie answered, and he's like, one second. I've got my preacher here, and he's got a connection with God. I kid you not. He said this. He said, I've got my preacher with me. He's got a connection with God. He muffles the phone and he says, hey, Joe, what's the final score going to be in tonight's game? I said, I gave him the final score. I said, the Broncos will win 28-24. Okay, my preacher says, true story. My preacher says, the Broncos are going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs 28-24. Great. I've never been to this stadium. It was the old Mile High Stadium in Denver. You would appreciate this, Gene. And the whole place was rocking because it was a really good game. It went down to the last quarter, and John Elway had the ball, and he scored a touchdown. Guess what the score was with a minute and 30 seconds left? 28-24. My friend here who was very well off, but he's still gambling, he looks at me and he says, you have a connection with God. And he wanted to kiss me on the cheek, and I'm like, get down. No, brother, I don't feel that vibe between us. I is a Mexican. We're not switch hitters. Enough said. So anyway, you like this, right, Miss Lisa? So a minute and a half, Joe Montana was the quarterback for the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
This was in the mid-90s. The Chiefs score, they win the game 31-28. Well, you can just imagine, he's like, I thought you had a connection with God. I looked at him and I said, that'll teach you for gambling. Why do I give that illustration? Because for some people, it's never enough. Right? They want more. John D. Rockefeller was asked, he was a multi-millionaire many times over. He was asked, when is enough money enough? And he said, one more dollar. It's never enough. There's no contentment. There's no gratitude in our lives. Amen? So the way to put contentment on steroids in our lives is gratitude. We've got to be thankful for every little thing. And listen, gratitude can only happen when there's a humble heart. Amen? Not a complaining heart, not a heart with a sense of entitlement, not I deserve. No, you don't. You know, I'll tell you what the Bible tells us that we do deserve, what we actually earn in the eyes of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is
death.
That's what we deserve.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? I mean, when you have that as your base, brother, anything good that comes out from that, anything good above that, how many of y'all know then I have cause to be thankful? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're thankful for the gift of eternal life. It was a gift. But we deserve hell. We deserve separation from God, period. End of story, end of sentence, full stop. That's what we deserve, church family. And if we can work off of that as our a gyroscope, so to speak, as our compass, then every good blessing that comes down the pike from God, we will be thankful for, right? Because then we'll say, you know what? I don't deserve this blessing, but God gave it to me anyway. Thank you, Lord. I didn't deserve it, but your grace and your mercy has provided it for me. Right? Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, please. 1 Chronicles 17. I saw this just the other day. I've been reading through the Chronicles now. I'm almost to 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 17. And let me set up the story. Nathan the prophet is relaying to King David that he's not the one to build the house for God, that is the temple, but that his son Solomon was assigned by the Lord to build that, and that David's throne would be remembered forever through his son's throne, and that God would leave a light on for all of his kids and grandkids and generations to come. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 17... So Nathan relays all of this to David, and I love David's response, verse 16. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 16. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What more can David say to you for the honor of your servant, for you know your servant?" Now, can you sense gratitude in that statement? Who am I, Lord? Who am I that you would bless me as much as you have? Who am I that you would regard me with high degree of regard, Lord, that you would count me to be your servant? So I share that, church family, to ask this question. Do we share in that attitude? Do we share in that attitude of humility? Because humility is the fertile ground for gratitude. David was humbled by the prophecy that Nathan gave him. And David said, "Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by your graciousness. Thank you, Lord. Who am I?" How many of y'all would say that would be a great attitude to cultivate in all of us? Say, "Lord, who am I? You saved me. Thank God for that." Right, that right there. Church family, we're going to have all of eternity to praise Him and worship Him and thank Him for that. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Amen. That's not going to be a 2-minute worship service up in heaven. That's going to be ongoing forever and ever. That alone, you know, and for me, what I remember that helps me to be grateful is I remember the struggle before the breakthrough. What was I struggling with? You know, when I was trying to get Gabby, hook her up with a job, I looked far and near, or near and far, to get her a good job. And, you know, it took a while. And finally, she went in for the interview. They hired her. And over the months, I've seen how that job has been an amazing blessing to her. I've been reduced to tears in the presence of the Lord and said, "Lord, thank you that she has a great job." Because I remember the struggle that it took. I remember all the praying that it took for her to receive that job. Do we stop and think about that, church family? How many of us ever stop and think about how many prayers, how much blood, sweat, and tears in prayer, so to speak, went into something and the Lord came through and answered our prayers? Do we ever stop and think about that and thus give thanks accordingly? That's right. That's what we should do. Who am I? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanksgiving puts contentment on steroids, and the root of thanksgiving is humility. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon us. Thank you for your goodness toward us. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would infuse within all of us, Lord, an attitude of gratitude and a humble spirit that recognizes your blessings, Lord, for all that they are in our lives, and see how incredibly blessed we are. Thank you for your word that keeps us on the straight and the narrow. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.